Hi, this is Beth Jones Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. And as you listen, if you think of someone who would benefit from hearing this, please pass it along to them. Well, I pray that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend with your family and friends. I'm wondering, did you get involved in any Black Friday shopping? Years and years ago, my husband Ron and I used to get up early on Black Friday just to run around to all the shopping centers and malls to see the people going crazy over the sales. We were much younger then. We also lived in Florida where the weather was warm and it wasn't so crazy cold. And it just seemed like fun at the time. And it was. You know, sometimes we would even join in and stand in a super long line for a sale on something we just couldn't live without. Funny, but I couldn't even tell you what we just had to have these days. Anyway, we'd find a way to whip out the plastic and put it on credit, which is so easy to do until a month later when the bill came due. Oh, boy. You know, it's one thing to figure out a plan to pay your credit card debt for your purchases, but it's another thing to try to figure out how to pay the debt you owe God for your sins. Even if we could put a price tag on each of our sins, which is completely ridiculous to even consider. I mean, what would it be? $100 for each cuss word? $1,000 for each lie? $500 for each time you snap at somebody? I mean, I would be broke in no time. And there is no amount that even the richest person in the world could ever pay to God to make him right with God. Doesn't work that way. And also, forget about monetizing all your volunteer work and good deeds. Good works are great, but they don't count for paying the debt you owe God. Nope, there's only one way to pay our sin debt. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome on this very topic. In Romans 3, starting in verse 27, Paul writes this: "Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law." You see, Paul knew these new Christians in Rome would have their doubts about grace, about God's grace, covering, paying their sin debt. Well, they weren't alone. We have our doubts even today. We think there just must be more we should do to make up for our sin debt. Or we think God can extend grace to some people, but surely not to me, because my sin is just too great. It's just too much to forgive. Well, Max Lucado writes this in his book, In the Grip of Grace, about that. On page 75, he writes, "All are wondering if they've overextended their credit line with God. They aren't alone. The vast majority of people simply state, God may give grace to you, but not to me. You see, I've charted the waters of failure. I've pushed the envelope too many times. I'm not your typical sinner. I'm guilty of," and fill in the blank. Well, how would you fill in the blank? Is there a chapter in your biography that condemns you? A valley of your heart too deep for the firstborn son to reach? Yeah, we all have our doubts about grace from time to time. But you see, the Apostle Paul in this section went on to remind the Roman Christians of the faith of Abraham and Sarah, that they all knew their story. They chose to believe God that they would have a son, even after waiting long into their old age, even after they had sinned by trying to help God out with Hagar producing Ishmael, even though there were times they trusted other people more than trusting God, even though they had every human reason to give up hope, they still believed God. Max Lucado writes this in his book on 76. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never have a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise cautiously, asking skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God. And that's why it said in Romans 4:18, Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. The author goes on to write this: Abraham decided to trust the promise rather than focus on the problems. Let me read that again. Abraham decided to trust the promise rather than focus on the problems. As a result, the Medicare couple were the first to bring a crib into the nursing home. Well, he goes on to write this: do we have much more than they? Not really. There's not a one of us who hasn't racked up more bills than we could ever pay, but there's not a one of us who must remain in debt. The same God who gave a child to Abraham has promised grace to us for our sin debt. What's more incredible? Sarah telling Abraham that he's a daddy at 100, or God calling you and me righteous? Both are absurd. Both are too good to be true, but both are from God. Well, that sin debt that we each owe, it's beyond anything we could ever pay. Yet knowing that, God covered our debt and only asks that we believe and accept by faith. Thank you so much for listening, and I pray you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you know someone who would benefit from hearing this podcast, please pass it along to them. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study time, just email me, Beth, at spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.